From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison, and I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we're going to be looking at the passages of Scripture that deal with the coming of Christ. And we're going to look at the very first passage in Scripture that speaks of Him being born of a woman. When man fell into sin, God gave to man a promise that there would come a Redeemer. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15, what is called the Proto-Evangelium, the first mention of the gospel is here in verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In this passage of Scripture, you have a statement concerning the coming of Christ. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy that now has been fulfilled. But for hundreds of years, it was a prophecy that stirred the hearts of people to look for the coming Messiah. We have prophecies in our day about the Lord's return. And those prophecies are to the people of God a blessed hope. They are something that we are anticipating or we're desirous of. And yet we have in our day false prophets who in their telling people that Christ would come on a certain date help to destroy the faith of God's people in the Word of God. Now the Word of God is true. But those who come with their own ideas and falsely proclaim that Christ is coming on such and such a date, and then he does not come, they're doing the work of the devil because the devil is trying to destroy the faith of God's people in the Word of God. He's trying to take away from God's people the shield of faith. That shield is absolutely necessary, according to Ephesians chapter 6, in the warfare that we have with the evil one. Today I want us to begin a study showing that God's Word is truth and that when it comes to making prophecies about the future, it is accurate. And those prophecies will indeed come to pass. Now we could deal with prophecies about nations. We have many prophecies in the Old Testament that dealt with nations. We could go to Isaiah or Daniel and Ezekiel and look at how certain nations were predicted to fall into ruin or be divided up or to be conquered by another country. And those things have happened. And we can look in church history or even before the New Testament church and we can see that in the intertestamental period between Malachi and Matthew, many of these predictions came to pass. But I want to focus this week primarily on predictions concerning the coming of Christ. Now you can see that in the first coming of Christ, there was prediction after prediction that was fulfilled, that you might be encouraged in the looking for Christ to come the second time, because the predictions that are being made for His future coming will also be fulfilled, just as those in the Old Testament were fulfilled concerning His first coming. Now here we find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that He would come of the seed of the woman. He would not come in an angelic form. There were times when I believe that the second person of the Godhead revealed God to mankind in the form of an angel. You see this in Genesis chapter 18. You see it referred to in the book of Zechariah where you have the angel of the Lord speaking to Jehovah. And yet clearly in Genesis 18, He is Jehovah. He's not going to come, though, as the Messiah to save His people from sin. He's not going to come and crush the head of the serpent in the form of an angel. He will come in the form of a man. Now, we find that it's not only that he would be of the seed of the woman, but that he would also be of the seed of Abraham. It was promised to Abraham that he would bear a seed and that all nations would in him be blessed. And then God narrows it even further and says it's not merely going to be Abraham's seed among all the nations in the world, but it will be a certain tribe in Abraham's seed. It will be the tribe of Judah. You see that prediction in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart out of Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, Shiloh is a name of peace, and our Lord is indeed the Prince of Peace. And so in Shiloh, you have this name that means peace, and he would come as the Prince of Peace, and he would bring peace between God and man. He would make reconciliation for the sins of his people, and the people would be gathered unto him. He would come of Judah's tribe. Then we find in the promises made to David, you see those delineated in 2 Samuel, as well as in Psalm 89, there are promises made to David that it would not only be of Abraham's seed, it would not only be of the tribe of Judah, but that they would come from David himself. That this Messiah would be of David's seed. And here you have God making more narrow and more narrow the Messiah's coming, so that the people would look in a certain direction for his coming. He would be of the seed of a woman. They were not looking for an angel to come and do this work of redemption. He would be of Abraham's race. They're not looking into the Gentiles for this Messiah to come. He would be of Judah's tribe. He would be, even more specifically, of the family of David. He would have a right to rule because he was of the family of David. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, we read, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." God is narrowing the field down so that we know that when Christ comes, he's going to come of David's family. But as you go further in the scripture, it also narrows the field down more when it says in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." Here you have not only David's seed being referred to, but a very special woman and a very special birth. The first part of the verse I didn't read. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign." This will be unusual. This will be miraculous. This will be something that when you see it, it's going to grab your attention and you're going to look at what is being done. What is this sign? What is this miracle that was going to be done in the coming of the Messiah? Well, a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, literally, God with us. So in the virgin conceiving, you have a miracle. You have a human nature being produced in an unusual way. Just as you had God directly working in the Garden of Eden, in the making of Adam, and then putting Adam to sleep and taking a rib from Adam and making the woman, now you're going to have God directly working and forming a humanity for the Son of God. Now, in the forming of that humanity, God worked directly. It was not formed through the labors of Joseph and Mary. It was the working of the Holy Spirit upon the human nature of Mary, taking her seed, so truly he would be born of the seed of woman. He would be born of the seed of Judah and of the seed of Abraham and of the seed of David. All that would be true because his humanity was formed from the seed of the woman. But it was not formed with the aid of a man. A virgin conceived. This is supernatural. This is unusual. This is a sign. And she was bearing a son. And from the very moment of her conception, that humanity was joined to deity. The second person of the Godhead joined himself to that humanity. So there are two aspects to the miracle. One, the formation of a sinless nature. Secondly, a joining of that deity to that nature. Perhaps you could say there are three miracles, the forming of humanity, the forming of it sinlessly, and then we find the forming of that humanity that was sinless being joined to deity. And so that in one person, in the second person of the Godhead, you now have two natures. You have a complete humanity, a body and a soul, and you also have the second person of the Godhead not leaving behind any of his attributes. He remains 100% God, consubstantial with the Father of the same substance as the Father, and yet consubstantial with man of the same essence and substance of a man apart from sin. So God narrows it down even further. Look for him of the seed of a woman. Look for him of the nation that was coming from Abraham. Look for him of the tribe of Judah. Look for him of the family of David. But look for him especially coming from the womb of a virgin in a miraculous conception and birth. Not only does God narrow it down that way, but he narrows it down by telling us what city he would be born in. When you come to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." He was going to come from the city of Bethlehem. Not only does he narrow it down that way, but he narrows down the time in which Christ would come. In Daniel chapter 2, it says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." In the time of these kings, that is the kings that made up the Roman Empire, God would establish this other kingdom, the kingdom of the Messiah. So God, very clearly, in many, many passages, told about the coming of the Messiah into this world to save his people. Someone has counted that over 300 prophecies about Christ's first coming were fulfilled when he came. And there are prophecies also about his second coming in the Old Testament, and obviously a lot of prophecies about his second coming in the New Testament. They also will be fulfilled. In spite of the fact that you have cult leaders and false prophets making predictions that are not biblical and not right, the Word of God can be trusted. Jesus Christ is coming back as the blessed hope for his people. Are you ready for his coming? Are you trusting in that coming? If we can be of help to you in coming to Christ and making your life right before God, before Christ comes, call us at 610-993-3170, 610-993-3170, or if you have access to the internet, write to us at malvernfpc@yahoo.com, malvernfpc@yahoo.com.